What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Choking on tea, Tess.
Oh, God. That's an intro right there. especially considering we have talked recently about health, and you come on choking.
just dying right now. y'all, it's about to be over.
like actively, right? Like, goodness. Mm. Episode 90 is where we end, right there. Yep.
Please don't die.
Goodness. That's Tess over there choking. But yeah, we have another dope episode for you. And I don't want to say announcements, but we have like an announcement that we can't fully announce, if that makes sense. we'll get to that a little bit later. But yeah, this is episode 90, and with the last few episodes, we've been trying to keep it short for health reasons, and we're going to continue to do the same for now. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I usually kind of catch up in terms of like our week, like what we've been doing. And so just to share a tiny bit, I have been watching She-Hulk, and I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. We're not going to really talk about She-Hulk too much now because Tess hasn't seen it. We're going to wait for a later episode to kind of dive into what's going on. But I did want to let people know that I have been watching it. And I'm pleased so far. It's funny. And the CGI isn't as bad as I thought it would be. So, you know, there's a plus. I also was able to catch up on some other shows. Like, for instance, Abbott Elementary. I finally finished it. And I know what you're saying, like, finally finished it. I finally finished it because usually what will happen is I'll start watching a show. If it's not something that's released all at once, like on Netflix, I'll start watching and then I'll have an assignment to do, which means it's pulling me away from that. Like, I have to watch something else for a review, which means I can't watch this show for my leisure, or, you know, for the most part. You can still kind of watch TV, but I kind of like to, if I'm writing about a season or a movie or something like that, I'd like to watch it and then write immediately, as opposed to go watch something else and have that in my head while I'm trying to write. So with Abbott Elementary, I stopped. I was like, I'll come back to it. But I wanted to finish it because the next season drops next month. This season 2 drops next month. For those who haven't seen it, it's funny. It's like a mockumentary about a school in Philly, and mostly predominantly black cast. Awesome stuff. It's really funny, and it reminds me a little bit of The Office. But one of the things that I was a little, I guess, nervous about when jumping into this show was that I'm not good with awkward humor. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I in The Office, I couldn't finish The Office because of that. Like, it was just too much of long spaces of awkwardness. I just couldn't, it didn't jive with me, right? But I think Abbott Elementary works because even though there are those awkward moments, they cut it immediately with a joke. So someone will do something embarrassing and everyone's like looking at them, and then someone will say something out of left field, and it kind of breaks the ice, if you will. Like, the awkwardness is still kind of there, but you're laughing because of what someone said, and so you're like, oh, okay, I'm cool. Like, I can kind of get through this awkwardness a little bit better, you know. And that happens a lot, where like there's like one off, you know, lines here or there that, you know, makes the scene funnier as opposed to awkward. And so definitely, you know, check that out if you haven't watched it. It's on Hulu, and the second season begins September, you know, I can't remember exactly when in September, but pretty soon season 2 is coming out. But yeah, She-Hulk and Abbott Elementary, go check those shows out. Just wanted to throw out my recommendations for the week. Beyond that, we wanted to talk about HBO Discovery, or Warner Brothers Discovery, actually. We're talking about HBO mainly, but, you know, the conglomerate here is Warner Brothers Discovery, and how it's more messy than we knew prior.
So messy.
Well, we talked about, you know, Batgirl being canceled, and a bunch of other, you know, films and shows being canceled, things being removed from the streaming platform and all this other stuff. Come to find out that multiple executives, mostly non-white, have been removed or laid off. About 13 executives have been basically cleared out. And some of this is a money thing, right? Because when a big company buys another big company, it's, you know, there's some redundancy there. And we talked about that a little bit on our last episode. Some people are going to leave because they don't like the new management. Some people will get laid off if there's already another person in this role, you know, adjacent role or whatever. But in this case, it looks bad because they're all like black and brown people for the most part, and women. And so looking at an article on The Daily Beast by Adam, the entertainment reporter there, they're talking about what's been going on, and they actually interviewed a bunch of people. There's been reportedly, like, I think 70 people has been laid off, a bunch of them execs, and they had some stuff to say, a lot of them anonymously, because obviously they don't want to get blackballed or whatever the case may be in the, you know, in the entertainment field. But they're not happy, and it paints a picture of what Discovery is looking for, or potentially, no, just, that's just it, what Discovery is looking for. Because, like, you know, in terms of money, Warner Brothers was kind of not doing well. And that's a given, considering, you know, the pandemic and some of the choices that they made when it came to film, how they alienated certain talent and stuff like that. I think they were trying their best, but it, you know, there were some issues there. And then not all of their DCEU films were landing. Some were better than others. We had a whole remake of the Justice League. That's just to let you know, like, there's a whole, you know, the Snyder Cut and whatnot. So that's just to tell you how things were been a little bit rocky. But for the most part, it seemed like they would be able to right the ship, that they would be able to make enough money to be okay. AT&T was like, nah, F that. Discovery, here you go. And so in that regard, obviously Discovery is going to make some changes because they want to make money. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I do want to throw that out there, that we're not ignorant of that fact. However, looking at the cuts that they're making, a lot of it is in the kids, family, and international scene, where a lot of the people, you know, the diverse leadership were over those departments, and a lot of them were removed. And it looks kind of bad in that regard. And, you know, Warner Brothers and, you know, Discovery kind of push back in this notion and saying that, you know, we have a slate of different shows, whether it's, you know, Euphoria or Black Lady Sketch Show, and all, you know, we have diverse characters and diverse shows. But my thought is, well, I'm pretty sure the people who kind of helped bring in all that diversity were the people who were diverse, you know, the black people, the Asian people, Hispanic people. Like, I believe that they are the reason that we had a lot of that. And that was one of the things that we cheered with HBO, right? We have a lot of black content over here. We have a lot of, you know, black writers and black directors that are getting their due at Warner Brothers. And then all of a sudden, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case going forward. You know what I'm saying? And so looking at what they're saying, some of these execs are saying, it's like, oh, they're not the new HBO, which is kind of a separate entity of HBO Max, like, they're not going to be as diverse anymore. One exec said there might be like one black woman in the whole, like, top of everything over there. Like, there's only like one black woman,
right?
And they don't know if there's any black men. This is coming from someone who used to work there. So yeah, that's a stark contrast. And granted, it wasn't like a huge plethora of black people working there to begin with in the, you know, executive or whatever level, but the few that they had have now been removed. And so you can imagine what that means when it comes to shows and, you know, diverse content that's you know, pouring in through HBO Max. It's probably not going to be there, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so, like, it's just a lot of, like, I don't know, it just doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And I think that this is going to end up biting them in the face. Like, it's going to be a bad thing. And not to say that they won't make money. I think they will, because there's a lot of people who, especially nowadays, who want to see a representation of middle America in the sense of, like, all white, if you will. The reality shows that Discovery, you know, has, and the, you know, the type of programming that they're used to. It's like, you know, they have an audience for that. But I think in doing so, you're killing off, you know, a huge market of people who are looking for the more diverse content. People who are looking for, especially when it comes to HBO's like groundbreaking shows, you know, their hit, you know, hit dramas and all the other stuff. All that's diverse that you're basically getting rid of. Essentially, we don't know just yet. We don't know what's going to be getting, you know, going to be greenlit later. But we do know that a lot of things were canceled, a lot of things were removed, and it doesn't look good. So much so that I think their stock went down, like trying to, you know, fix HBO, or I'm sorry, Warner Brothers debt, and end up hurting their stock because they're getting rid of talent and stuff like that. And people are obviously kind of reluctant to subscribe now. You don't know what you're going to get. Like your favorite show or your favorite writer or your favorite director no longer wants to work with HBO or can't work with HBO because they've been laid off or, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so a lot of people are talking, if you will, and that has caused some problems. That being said, a recent show has jumped on HBO Max, and it has caused all type of server issues. We're going to talk about that later, but there is some push and pull here. What are your thoughts about what's going on as of late?
So one thing I do want to say about some of the stuff that's been canceled that I'm upset about, besides the fact that I really was trying to watch Gordita Chronicles, because I think that's messed up.
Right.
They scrapped the Gumball movie, and I don't care what anybody says, Gumball is an amazing show.
Right.
Okay. The Amazing World of Gumball. I don't know if you watch that, Kenny.
I have. It is hilarious. I don't understand it, but it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Like, in fact, if you do understand the show, there's something wrong with you. This show is so wild.
Right.
It's so out of control. And I heard that they've scrapped that movie. And I'm like, this is so not cool because no. Like, Gumball is awesome. You can be a child and an adult and find all of the humor. I mean, the adult humor that is snuck into cartoons in the first place is just, it's always like pretty funny. But they sneak stuff into that show that kids, it just goes right over their head. That show is hilarious. It's out of control. You got kids acting crazy, kids trying to date their children, trying to be each other's boyfriend, girlfriend, having special powers, trying to kill the other person. I mean, like, I don't know. I just find that show so funny. And I think a movie would have been great. It would have actually probably got more viewers. It would have brought more people into the world of Gumball. People would have been like, wait, what? This is a cartoon? This exists? Right. Anyway, so that's kind of upset. I mentioned last week that I was not okay with them scrapping Raised by Wolves. That was actually a pretty diverse show. Huge diverse cast. Everybody was on that. So that's a problem. But I don't know what they're doing over there. I really don't. I read a couple of articles. I saw how a lot of the people who are being fired are saying, you know, they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to be like, well, if they could schedule, I mean, if they could have Chip and Joanna Gaines showing every day, all day long, that's exactly what they would do. And I'm like, right. That's trash.
Not
great. It is, yeah, that's trash. I mean,
no shade to anybody who likes that, but I'm just saying it's still trash. Like, it's comparatively to what we had before. Like that plus what we have, cool. Everybody likes something, everybody gets what they want. But removing the stuff that we like in place of that is like, nah, that's not cool.
I'm really not understanding their push to make sure that HBO Max and Discovery Plus become one app. I think that that's a big mistake.
Same.
Keep your app separate. It's like VH1 and like Viacom owns like everything, but you don't have to have the VH1 app doesn't have to be the same app as BET.
Exactly. You know? Or like Hulu and Disney. Like Disney owns a large share, if not the entirety of Hulu.
Yeah,
but they're two separate entities. If anything, it would have been a smart for Discovery to bundle HBO Max with Discovery the same way Disney did Disney Plus with Hulu and ESPN. Like that would have been better than to try to rearrange and change everything.
Yeah, because that's just it's not it's also not the same content at all. Like, if you've got a lot of stuff that's on Discovery Plus used to be on what was like the Learning Channel, like TLC stuff, right? Like,
right.
It's just not the same content. And I mean, I know that I'm not actually sure if HBO has it. Like, I know Disney has, the Disney app has the code, like, that you can enter for, like, children so that the children can't access.
They have the ability to split it so that all the educational, you know, Sesame Street and stuff like that would just be on this, you know, this particular profile, and, mm-hmm. you know, the full access to the R-rated everything is mm-hmm. on, you know, adults.
Okay. I mean, like, yeah, if that's smart, make sure you have it. It's just, but like, the majority of stuff on HBO, just, it's just more adult themed. It's darker. Right. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that's on Discovery Plus is not that way. So even just merging the style of content is to me, just seems a little bit like a mistake. And you know, people get real passionate about their feelings nowadays. I mean, people were burning their Nikes that they literally purchased. So, like, I'm just saying, people are really passionate. So, you know, this kind of stuff is what makes people quit. This kind of stuff is what makes people, you know, not want to, you know, subscribe or want to cancel their subscriptions. And I just think that they could probably do this better. It's not smart to do the stuff they were doing. I mean, even John Oliver made a joke on his show on Sunday night when he made it. I was cracking up. He said, you know, like, Discovery bought everything just so they could get a tax write-off. And that was like one of his jokes that night. Everybody's like, ooh, snap. To the point where on Monday, it's like, it's a headline. It's actually a headline. It's like, John Oliver calls out Discovery for using content as a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, y'all, I would love it. They're like, yeah, we're going to go after his show, because, like, no, that's not a good idea. He probably has 10% of the subscriber.
I'm telling you.
So, but anyway, moving on from there, HBO show that we'd like to talk about. I'm going to talk about it because Kenny is actively boycotting it, just like so many others.
Yeah, I'm not watching that shit.
House of the Dragon premiered on Sunday. And I don't know what the ratings were. I didn't do the metric research. I kind of don't even care. Not the point. I don't care who likes it, who doesn't like it. I just watched it because I could. I think I watched it on Monday at some point in time that day. I don't know when. And I'm gonna watch it because it's available, but I just felt like it was quite boring. And not boring in a good way. So I can say, you know, Game of Thrones first episode, mind you, prior to my brain injury, I was a very smart person and I could pick up anything. I always pick up stuff. Like, I'm the type of person who ruins movies for myself. I already knew what was happening in The Sixth Sense, even though I missed the beginning of the movie. I knew something was off. I'm the only one sitting there saying, hey, something's off, something's not right. If I had seen the beginning of the movie, I would have known what was going on. Like, I'm just saying, that's my superpower. My superpower is to always figure out a movie before the jig is up.
Right.
In anything, like shows, books, anything, I always figure it out. I figured out the whole, you know, Rhaegar, Lyanna, Targaryen thing in the first book. Like, I figured it out mad early. I was like, and I remember walking up to my coworker because he was the one who had read everything. He was the one who was ahead of all of us. And I was like, so yeah, I've mentioned this before on the show, but I'm like, yeah, Lyanna's Jon Snow's mother, right? And then he's like, no, what are you talking about? No, that's incest. She would never do that with her brother, Ned. I was like, no, I meant she's his mother because Rhaegar is his dad. And then he's like, no, that's not exactly, he's like, that's not what happened. I'm like, are you sure? Because that's pretty much what I think happened.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm saying this mad early. I'm saying this and nobody else is listening to me. Nobody's believing me. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. And that's exactly what happened. So my point in saying any of this is that season one of Game of Thrones, first episode, I called out Jaime and Cersei in the first 5 minutes of the show. I did. I said, Yeah, they're sleeping together. I straight up said, I watched the show by myself and I'm sitting here and there's nobody listening to me. I'm like, they're sleeping together. Does anybody else see this? I'm like, they're sleeping together. Does anyone else see this?
They give off that incest vibe.
I just knew. Yes, they gave it. I knew it. And I totally knew it. And as soon as I saw their blonde-headed kids, I was like, it wasn't even the rest of it. It wasn't Marcella. It wasn't Tom. And it was just Joffrey. I was like, that kid is inbred. And I remember saying this straight up. And I told my sister Lillian this some time later. And she goes, you know that he's an actor. Like, he's not really their child. And they're not really related. And I was like, right. Can you shut up and not be an ass right now? Like, anyway.
Well, you know what my I'm point.
I said, my point is, I knew that this was going to be a bomb show from like the first 5 minutes. And the first episode of Game of Thrones is boring. It's actually boring. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, most of the people that I know who watched the show all felt like it was hard to get in, especially people who quit the show before the episode ended. Like, there are people who literally watched 15, 20 minutes of the show and was like, this is boring, and turned the channel and said they didn't want to watch it anymore. And then I got them back into it. And I'm like, you didn't watch to the end, did you? Because the most exciting part of that show is the last 70 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else. Nothing. It's not, I mean, it's littered with important information. It's layered. But obviously, the most interesting stuff happens in the last 3 minutes of the show. And my point is, that's not how House of the Dragon felt.
Right.
House of the Dragon did not feel like this amazing, I mean, this kind of like, you know, slow moving, boring, whatever. And then the last 3 minutes was just like, oh, snap, I got to keep watching. No, I feel like one of the only reasons why people are watching is because they're invested or... You know, we got a lot of previews. A lot of previews that showed a lot of stuff. Showed a lot of war.
Yeah.
You know, backstabbing, all that kind of stuff. So people are going to keep watching because they want to see the intrigue. I don't even know how many episodes HBO is giving us. I do know that a lot of the, I think, you know, people who previewed the show got to see at least 6 episodes. But I don't know if they're giving us 8 because, you know, post-pandemic... A lot of these places that used to do 10 episode seasons are now doing like 8 episode seasons.
Right.
So I don't even know what they're giving us, but I'm a fan of Crazy House Targaryen. They always bring the drama. And they got dragons. I know. Drama and dragons, drama and dragons. And so I'm here for it because I don't want to watch snow freeze on the walls of Winterfell. It's not interesting enough. They're decent people, the Starks. Okay. I want to watch fire and blood. I want to watch what these crazy MFers are up to trying to figure out who's marrying who. And plus, I've been reading the book as well. So, because I bought the books a long time ago and I was like, oh, I'm going to read all this stuff, blah, 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 history of Westeros. And, yeah, but my personal opinion is that the show is boring. I'm happy that they brought Matt Smith in to play Daemon Targaryen because he has such a punchable face. Oh my god, the guy who you don't watch The Crown. We've talked about this before, right?
Right, right, right.
He plays Prince Philip in The Crown, and I want to punch him so bad because, like, man,
they know. I'm they like know Prince Philip. They know when they have a punchable face. They'd be like, mm-hmm, yeah. Just go give me another role right here.
Yes. Yes.
Right here. And
he is like world-class Richard. He really is. and it's great because like he also has feelings. Like they're not creating him to just be this impeccable, awful Joffrey person. He is well-rounded he clearly has love for his family. He's not just this evil character who's just evil. I think he has love for his family and stuff. So I think that they did well there. But I don't understand a lot of stuff that's happening. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, I don't understand the story. That's not it. I'm actually, right. I have a lot of problems just with watching the show. I had a problem with the way they cut scenes. I had a problem with some of the, what do you call it? Wow, my brain. I mean, when people talk.
Oh, the dialogue?
Yeah, thank you. I had some issues with just like some of the scenes that they just threw in there. Apparently, they made a choice to not have as many sex scenes in this show. Something I didn't know, a friend of mine ended up telling me, because I was like, yeah, there's like one random scene in here. She was like, oh, I thought they weren't gonna like have a lot of sex scenes because that was something that was discussed like amongst the, you know, fans, I guess. And it's just saying, you know, Game of Thrones had this, like, it's like, do you just hate women? Like, how many times are you gonna rape people? Like,
well, yeah, and we saw that in the show kind of dwindle until, you know, the season where what's her name gets married, you know, gets
Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa gets married. But outside of that, which that caused a huge uproar as well.
It did.
But apparently they're still graphic. Like, I'm reading that, you know, they showed a birth or something.
Yeah, the birth is really, really awful. I mean, instead of, like, basically the queen has a breech child. And so they just slice her open.
Oh, wow.
They literally just slice her open while she's screaming and begging for her life, like, do not do this to me. And they slice her open and take the baby out.
That is rough.
And it's pretty like graphic, because it almost makes it seem like, okay, there was this idea that the show was a little bit too violent towards women, and not because, oh, you know, violence towards women is a thing of that time. It's almost like, yes, we understand violence towards women is a thing of that time, but then you guys just ran with it. And
yeah, they revel in a lot of violence.
Like, yeah.
It's like, we're HBO, we could do whatever we want. So let's go above and beyond what you would expect. That can go either way in terms of quality. Like that right. can be, some of it's not very tasteful. I'll say that.
Right. Because it's like, you can explain to us that violence towards women is very, very commonplace, and you can make us understand it without it always being present every time, every episode, over and over and over again. You don't need to hammer it into our heads by repeated visuals in a manner in which it seems like you guys have no problem doing it. You can give it to us multiple times, but it doesn't have to be so, doesn't like, we get it. My point is, we get it. It's kind of like when you have unnecessary love scenes, it's like, dude, we get it. I didn't need to see all of that. Should leave it up to the imagination. I get it. You guys are having sex. You're adults. Like,
it happens. Like,
you know? So, but then instead of them having, like, you know, all these love scenes, apparently they decided to move their violence outside of, or just, you know, their flesh parties of just lots of sex everywhere. It's now going to be violence and childbirth, apparently. You know, and I saw that somebody actually like wrote a piece on that. We're like, okay, so we're just swapping out violence from rape, and now it's you know, just having babies. Like, women have been having babies forever. We know it's a hard thing. A lot of women die in childbirth. We understand that too. But it seems like you just traded one for another type thing. Excuse me.
And that's rough. And it's hard to say. And granted, I'm not gonna watch this show, but from the first episode, you know, because the show is bound to show something disturbing because of the nature of the show. Like, just knowing what is to come from these type of stories within the Game of Thrones universe, nothing is pretty. Nothing is nice for the most part. Yeah. And so that's to be expected. And, you know, but we can't necessarily say that they're only, you know, that they're swapping one for the other with only one episode.
Right. Yeah, it's only one episode.
What we can say, like you've said, is that it's still boring, though.
And yeah.
What's interesting...
I really did feel that way.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that, like, the amount of people... So, like, we already were like, we don't want to watch this because of how Game of Thrones ended. And a prequel, while interesting on paper, is like, we know how this ends. For me, it's like, you know, going back to a book, you know, the book is great, but then the ending sucks and it ruins the whole book.
Yeah.
And so, like, a prequel is just more of the book. If there was an adjacent house or an adjacent story that's happening around this time that leads to something in the future that we don't know about, I would be more keen to jump back in, because there have been rumors about them filming a show that takes place after the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's the Dora the Explorer series where her face goes westward, and go Arya, you explore that planet.
Facts. I mean, it will be interesting at the very least, and then if it continues on, then that means we don't have an ending. We just have a very bad middle point.
Yeah.
And we could potentially have a better ending. So in that case, I would be more interested. But like, apparently, regardless of that being the thing, and regardless of how people feel about it, at least how they speak about it online, the people who care, over 10 million people jumped in to watch this show. And to the point where I think HBO Max, the app, was having problems streaming it because there was so many people. And it's one of the biggest premieres that HBO has had in a while. Or I think ever. Like, I think they actually broke some records there. And so, like, obviously, people want more Game of Thrones. You know, good for you.
Yeah.
It's you know, and that's kind of, I was hinting that before with how we feel about, you know, what Discovery is doing, and then you have a hit show. It's like, is this going to wipe away? Like, oh, they got rid of all the black people, but did you see those cool white people with the dragons? Like, you know what I'm saying?
That, honestly, I was feeling that. I just wasn't going to say it.
That's what it seems like. Like, people are up in arms. People felt the way. People didn't like, you know, certain films getting canceled and everything. And but Game of Thrones, I got to go watch it. And I'm not saying, let me clarify. I'm not saying that you should feel a way to the point of not watching or subscribing or whatever the case to HBO. I'm not one of those people who are, you know, immediately and adamantly upset at people for, in, you know, getting some type of entertainment, because life is grim and there's the pandemic and there's monkeypox. There's all this stuff going on. If you want to watch a show and feel good about watching a show, watch the freaking show. You know what I'm saying? It's more so like, on one end, you feel a way about something, and then the other hand, but Game of Thrones, that's where I'm talking about, where it's the dichotomy that you have that switches so quickly between the two. And it's not to say that you can't enjoy something and criticize it. I do that all the time, but there's a difference when it's the torch waving. I can't believe they are firing all the black people and the brown people and all this other stuff. But did you watch Game of Thrones though? It's a whiplash that kind of hurts, like your neck. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Yeah. You do.
Because
you.
Especially if they use shows like this, like as an anchor though, because you know,
right,
if
exactly.
you have a new company that's taking over, but they're like, all we need, we don't care about anything else, but we just need to keep this, because this has the most views, this is going to make us the most money. And that kind of sucks, especially if it is just like you said, if this is the show with a mainly, you know, white cast and people are like, oh, this is really cool and whatnot, but then you get rid of all the other diverse shit, then it's a problem.
Definitely a problem.
It's a huge problem.
And then what happens when the show is done? Like,
right.
Because a lot of people, I know I did, unsubscribed once Game of Thrones was done.
Yeah, a lot of people.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not, you don't want to bank on one thing. You want to bank on a bunch of things that are constantly in rotation, and you want to bank on the content that you had before, but you're removing old content too, you know, in an effort to save money, because you're potentially, you know, tax breaks. Like, if you're not making money off of it, or you can't make money off it if you're trying to get a tax break. So you're removing old content. That's content that needs to be there for, what is it, you know, like filler, you know what I mean? Like it between the big shows, the things that pull people back, you need that content that's in the middle, the old shows, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, whatever the case may be. Like, you need that so people can be like, oh, I'll subscribe in the meantime, since, you know, this big show isn't here, I'll watch this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it is reflective. One of the, looking at the article again, one of the execs was talking about how they feel like they don't care. You know, they asked the question, like, what are they going to do with this disproportionate amount of people of color that were let go? They need to replace them in some capacity, or do they not care? And that's what it seems like. They just don't care that they let all these people go that were bringing good content. And we can argue money all day long in terms of like what is more profitable, but you have to understand what it looks like when you ax not only people of color, but women. So like all the white men, for the most part, who, you know, deliver mediocre success, or, you know, or mid shows or whatever the case may be, get to stay. But the people who had success in their areas, it might not be the success that HBO wanted, but they've done pretty well with diversifying their portfolio.
Yeah.
You know, you let them go, but the mediocre guys over here get to stay, and then they all look the same. Like,
yeah.
And we've been down this road multiple times. Even if it's not what it looks like, it's what it looks like. You know what I'm saying? And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, if you guys want to watch House of the Dragon, if you're not watching it already, you know, do you. I'm going to watch it because it's there. It's available. I've been reading the books, which I would say, like, the book doesn't read like A Song of Ice and Fire at all. It's much more historical account versus first person character driven type read.
Right.
So more, it's just like a historical account, kind of like in a way the Silmarillion, except the Silmarillion is much more it's different, but yeah, it's just more of a historical account, and you know you get to learn about all the characters, like all the people who existed 300 years ago and stuff. But honestly, I think one of the things that's a little disappointing in kind of just the whole idea of House Targaryen is that they're not around long enough. That's what I feel like. You know, it's only 300 years.
Right.
And so it's like inevitably knowing that they're all going to die. And not even in like this great way. The end of House Targaryen is not even like the most epic. I mean, I will say Daenerys burning everybody is epic. Love it. But then, you know, getting shanked by Jon Snow in front of the Iron Throne, that's BS. Just BS.
There was so much crap with that, like, and you could feel it because the season before that was kind of rocky, and it's like, dog, like, we knew what was going to happen. That's what was so bad, too. We saw the writing on the wall and the way they were speeding through things, and, you know, the writer seemingly checked out early, you know? And then on top of that, we had the whole, you had all these kingdoms potentially coming together to fight this one enemy, and it's over in one night.
Yeah.
Like, just lackluster all the way around.
So bad.
You know, they had a giant ice dragon zombie creature. Like,
so cool.
It just means epic, and this was not epic at all.
You're such a failure.
You know what I mean? Like, and it started fine. Like, the fight started fine. We had this foreboding episode right before. We had all this, you know, tension leading up to it. And then it happens and you're like, oh.
And all these people managed to live too. You're just like, how?
Right. All of the main people, the people that matter, right? All the people that were the story, you know, I mean, granted, there was, you know, some people died, but like all the people who were
central, you know, to pivotal, the story.
Yeah, like major characters all live. And not that they couldn't live, but it kind of takes away from the drama. Like, this is, these people, the White Walkers were like, you know, it was like the whole world is going to end. And people are looking at, you know, the kingdoms that wanted to stay out of it. Like, what are you doing? Like, if you don't help us, we're all going to die type stuff. And then to come to find out, oh no, we're good. Yeah, you're cool. You don't have to get up. I got this. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, it's unfortunate and that it went down that way. And, you know, for all the people who are enjoying or, you know, could potentially enjoy this new show, hopefully it's good. You know, hopefully it's good. They definitely spent a lot of money on it, but
lots.
I think I'm good.
I'm personally still a little, this is just me saying what I need to say. Sometimes, you know, when things are better in the book, or sometimes things are better, like the Targaryens were literally known as being these amazingly beautiful people because they were like gods on earth. Mm. No one looked like them. No one. No one looked like them. No one controlled dragons like them. And I mean, like, the Targaryens, because the other dragon lords died. All the other dragon lords of Valyria are dead. But I mean, like, sometimes I watch the screen, I'm like, y'all are disappointing me. Couldn't y'all found some more models? And this is me being an asshole. I'm just saying, not like I could play a Targaryen. I mean, I could play a Velaryon, clearly, since Corlys Velaryon is black. House Velaryon apparently is black now. Which I'm okay with. I don't know when that happened, but I don't know if that's the way it was in the book for real, because I haven't found any descriptors, to be honest, but I also didn't necessarily think that it couldn't be that way. But I guess nobody wants to wear the purple contact because Targaryen folks have purple eyes. Like, it just, no one want, is no one want the purple thing?
Apparently not. They're hard to get in and out. Like, it's not like the regular contacts or the ones from Pitch Black. Like, no, these are difficult. You got to have a whole crew to put those in.
Just purple? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not lenses. They're just regular ass colored contacts.
Dog, I don't know. I imagine they're difficult.
No, they're just regular ass purple contacts. Like, this, it's not lenses. They're not wearing the Pitch Black ones. They're not wearing the ice ones that they had to wear in the Titanic movie. Like, no, they're just purple colored contacts because their eyes are supposed to be purple, not blue. There's a reason for that. The Dragon Lords, like, they're supposed to be different from everyone else. It's the whole point of them being different. The whole point of them being incestuous is because they're Dragon Lords. They need to keep their bloodlines pure so that they can ride dragons.
Right.
It's the whole point, you know, not Lannisters, Cersei, and Jaime because they're disgusting individuals who have mental problems.
Well, I mean, that was definitely a sign of the times, I guess. A lot of kings and queens. I mean, heck, that's Marvel. If you read the Inhumans, granted they're not brother and sister. The Inhuman leaders, like Black Bolt, he married his cousin, betrothed to his cousin. You know, but yeah, this was definitely a more taboo thing even for them, especially considering she actually married someone already. You know what I'm saying? So I think that the interesting aspects of these characters and story and world is something that I guess can kind of be applauded, you know? At the same time, it's like, we kind of did this already. Like, we really did this already. Like,
one of the major issues. It's just because it's like, okay, so when you did Game of Thrones, you made it seem like this lifestyle was taboo, bad, and not normal. But if you're going to go back 300 years in time, there was a time when this was more normal, and it's not for anyone else. It's only for them. And I'm not even saying that it was normal in the way that everybody else accepted it, because actually people didn't accept it. People were not happy that they were marrying brother and sister. They thought that was gross. But the Targaryens are not religious. They didn't have the same religion. Right, the people in Valyria didn't worship the seven gods. They themselves were considered gods on Earth, so their culture was different. They always married themselves because of course they were dragons. Like, you can't control dragons if you don't have Targaryen blood or Valyrian blood, and not even all Valyrians are dragon lords. It was only certain dragon lords that can control dragons. So point of that is that's what it is, and that's what their culture was. So then now you have this, like, we're going through this thing that was already done in Game of Thrones. And so I'm kind of like, okay, so are we just gonna, is the focus just gonna be the family drama because everybody wants the crown?
Oh, probably. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, and that's what it needs to be, because we can't focus on the end. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. That was such a contention piece in the other show. I feel like that would be boring if this is, but I don't know. Anyway,
that's essentially what it's going to be. Like, it's going to be, and it might get better, but it's going to be boring because it's traveling a road that we've already traveled. And not only that, the end of that road, we know the outcome. We know die. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we already know.
They did this opening, they're doing a lot of exposition again, boring. They've got a narrator. It's boring, but they did this little opening paragraph where they were like, these events happen 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen. And then they highlight 172 years before Daenerys Targaryen. They like highlight them. And I'm like, the way that they did that, I'm sitting here like, how important is this? And I'm only saying that in a manner in which, like, I understand some people be like, okay, so when's Daenerys going to get born? Shut up. Stop being dumb. But when they highlighted it and they used the exact years, and I'm like, y'all are making Daenerys seem way more important than she is, because she's dead.
Right.
Like, and I'm not saying she's not important. I'm just saying when they highlighted it, it was like, what for again? Like, because anybody who read the books you already know, but it was just like, wait, why did you highlight it? Why'd you highlight her name? Then I'm like, okay, maybe this is because you guys are going to have the next show where she's not actually dead, because Drogon clearly grabbed her by the whatever and flew her to the fires of Valyria, which is what I had predicted that he was doing. But doesn't really effing matter, because nothing that happened in the show is canon. So doesn't effing matter, and nothing matters. Nothing even matters. And now I'm going to drink my tea and try not to choke again.
Please don't die. That is our show for tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us. If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. If you're listening on all the other DSPs, like, you know, Spotify or iTunes, feel free to add us to your RSS feed, subscribe and all that good stuff. So you'll be up on all the new content when it comes out. One of the things I want to pre-announce, because we can't really announce it right now, is that we have another special guest lined up coming up pretty soon-ish. And so you want to be on the lookout for that. It's going to be a big, a big ado, if you will. So, yeah. And we also have some more stuff to talk about in terms of TV shows, anime, manga, and video games. There's a lot of news going on with video games. If you didn't know, for instance, the PlayStation 5, the price of it is going up in other countries, and not in the U.S., but in other countries. Sony was saying that is due to the economic environment right now, you know, with all the them having shortages of the, you know, the chips and things that they need to actually make the unit. That's why it's still hard to find now. Raising the price doesn't seem to help in that regard. So for them, it's like, you know, okay, when we do finally sell them, then we'll make more money because we're not making as much money. Granted, they are making a lot of money. Money. That's the point. And so it's disheartening. It's definitely disheartening. And, you know, so that's just a bit of news and things that we can also talk about in future episodes. But you got to be subscribed, and you got to be, you know, you got to be on the RSS feeds and all that good stuff to know what we're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely let us know in the comments if you want us to talk about anything in particular. I know Gamescom is going on right now. So, you know, there's that as well. But yeah, let us know. And beyond that, follow us on Twitter at TheGameCast1. Definitely follow us there.
Yes, there's a one there. That's it for me, guys. If anything else, be kind and wash your hands, wash your faces, wash your butts, please. It's important. And wear your masks, and still stay 6 feet apart. Come on, y'all. Don't walk up on me in the grocery store. I hardly go there anyway because I can't leave my house a lot because of, you know, bright lights and headaches. But when I do go out, can you please not run up on me? I don't want COVID. I need, my health is already crap. Please stay 6 feet apart. Why is it so important for you to put your stuff on the belt without a mask right behind me? I haven't even finished my stuff. So
yeah, it's trifling.
Yeah, be kind, people. Be nice. And that's really it. So we'll see you guys next week, hopefully, or the week after. Bye.